would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Word of God says this: "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have shown us. We thank you for your word that instructs us. And Father, we would just ask that by your grace, we would become a, Father, truthful people. Father, help us to understand what it means to speak the truth with one another. Father, draw us to yourself. And may we leave here a changed people. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The context of this passage of Scripture is really important for us to properly understand it. He's been discussing what the new life in Christ looks like. What the Christian's life is supposed to look like is a putting away the way we used to live and a putting on the way that Jesus Christ lived. This is what we learn from Jesus. We learn from Jesus to throw away the old and to put on the new. Part of the old man, though, is that we have a deceitful lust in verse 22. We looked at this last week. And that there are ways that we lie to ourselves and deceive ourselves in order that we kind of try to make bad things seem like good things. And we deceive ourselves to somehow make our sin really a good thing. And we also, in verse 23, we need to change the way we think concerning issues. And verse 24 tells us that there is a true righteousness or true holiness, meaning there's also a counterfeit holiness or a counterfeit righteousness. In light of this, wherefore, in light of the fact that there is a lie that we tell ourselves and trick ourselves and to make us think that our sin is really holiness or righteousness, in light of this fact that we need to put off things and put on new things, he's going to go through a bunch of different things that we as Christians need to put off and that we need to put on. The very first thing he tells us to do is to put off lying. Jesus tells us that the devil is the father of lies. Lying has no place in the Christian life. We are to never tell a lie. When we speak of telling a lie, this means fabricating something. This means distorting something. This means twisting something. Anything that is not 100% truthful. That is the antithesis of Christianity. If the devil is the father of lies and Jesus Christ declares himself to be the truth, if I'm going to learn from Jesus, I must put aside lying. Now, lying includes more than what we would call just bold-faced lies. In our society, we have bold-faced lies and we have little white lies. And some are really bad and some are okay and some are acceptable. Anything that is not true is unacceptable in the Christian life. Anything. Right? Anything that is not factually true is unacceptable, and we must discard that way of speaking to other people. Now, that being said, most everyone from every religion, and even atheists would say, oh, you shouldn't lie. That's not everyone. Charles sent me an article about a psychologist telling you should lie to your kids so they feel better. Okay, some people do advocate for lying, but most people say lying's bad. But the scripture goes further than this. It's not just that I must discard lying. I must now put on the new man, and the new man is marked by telling the truth, speaking the truth with my neighbor. You see, it is possible to not lie and at the same time make sure someone believes a lie. Okay? In other words, you technically didn't say something that wasn't true. You just withheld information or didn't volunteer information, and you knew that that person was being misled, and you didn't make sure to correct that. This happens all the time in our legal system. This happens all the time in our politics. This happens all the time in business dealings. This happens all the time in churches, where we can say, well, I didn't lie to him. But did you tell him the truth? You see, Jesus didn't come to just not lie. Jesus came to speak the truth. And this is an adjustment that we have to make in our lives. It's easy to say, oh, I feel bad because I didn't tell the truth. I misrepresented the truth. I lied to that person. But here we're being told we have to be a truthful people about everything and with everyone. In other words, we must make sure that people leave our presence with an accurate understanding of what is true. We can't distort and hide behind technically it wasn't a lie. No, we must be a people who speak the truth. This is what we learn from Jesus. Christians get very fixated on John 14:6, where Jesus says he is the only way to the Father. But Jesus also declares himself to be the truth in the same passage of Scripture. Christianity is based upon Jesus Christ, who declares himself to be the truth. Therefore, everything we do should be a proclamation of the truth. And this goes beyond just preaching or sharing the gospel. This means in every business dealing, in every relationship, in every interaction, I cannot simply not lie. I have to tell the truth. I cannot let someone leave with a misunderstanding. I must make sure that they know the truth. That's something we were talking about with my kids this morning, you know, and I'm sure my kids are the only ones that do this. But, you know, have you seen my toy? I don't see it. Well, you don't see it because you're sitting on it. Technically, you didn't lie. But did you tell the truth? No. Did you take my toy? No, I didn't take your toy. I sat down on it. So they go, well, where could it be? Okay. Well, it's not in the bedroom because it's in the living room and you're sitting on it. You're not telling the truth the whole time. You're distorting it. And people do this in business dealings. People do this in politics. People do this in the church. People do this in their marriage. People do this all over the place. As Christians, though, we have to tell the truth. We have to speak the truth. But it's interesting that he goes beyond telling the truth too. That's not what the passage says. The passage says, speak the truth with. And it's a very subtle difference, but it's a huge difference. Because we live in a society where giving someone a piece of my mind and telling them the truth is considered to be a noble or good thing. You know, drop the mic and walk away. That's kind of what everybody wants to do. Man, you put them in their place. That's not what this is advocating for. What this is advocating for is that you have a conversation with the person so that they come to an understanding of the truth. The goal here is to win the person, not win the argument. Okay, the goal here is not that you make headlines for the most epic comeback of all time, but that the person leaves with a correct understanding of the truth. Sometimes that means that you may have to ask questions and answer questions. You know, I find this remarkable about Jesus. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that as such, he has perfect, infinite knowledge. Okay, he is omniscient. But have you ever noticed that the omniscient Son of God asked a bunch of questions? Why did Jesus ask questions? Because he didn't know the answer? No. Why? Because he was trying to help people think deeply so that they themselves would come to an understanding of the truth. Remember when he asked the Pharisees, was John's teaching from heaven or from earth? Or was it from God or from man? Remember he asked them that because Jesus didn't know who John the Baptist was, right? No. Jesus very clearly knew who John the Baptist was. What he wanted to do was help the Pharisees to think deeply and have to answer questions so that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. So when we talk about speaking the truth, this is not that I just come with a double-barrel shotgun of truth, blast someone in the face, and walk off. It's that I begin to have a conversation with them so that they can come to an understanding of what is true. It's wanting more of a dialogue than a monologue. It's wanting to help them to see the truth that we know. Okay? And this is to be with our neighbors. This is to be with every single relationship we have. We are to be talking to people and speaking the truth with them. We are to be radically honest in our business dealings, in our politics, in our marriages, and our courtship, our dating relationships, and our relationship with our parents, with our kids, with our brothers and sisters, within the church, with everyone, we are to be radically honest. We are to be a people who speak the truth with our neighbor. Now, as I was studying this, I just came across this verse, and I went, that would be a very short sermon. Yeah, tell the truth. Okay, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody's been told that their whole life. But the truth is, even though we've been told that our whole life, we don't. We still believe little deceitful little lies that sometimes being honest isn't a good thing. And so what I want to do is just speak of some areas in which we are not truthful. And somehow yet we think that's a good thing. So for example, sometimes we're not truthful because we want to keep the peace or maintain unity. A lot of people are this way in their marriages. This is actually a lot of the reasons why people have marriage problems, is because they just want to maintain the peace in their relationship. I don't want to say anything that will hurt his feelings. And so we're not honest. We're not honest with our kids. We're not honest with our parents. Because, if I told Dad what I really did, then he'd blow up, and it would just be a big mess, and it'd hurt Mom's feelings. Let's just all get together in church. We're here to be unified. We don't really need to know what happened or what someone did or said. That doesn't really matter. Unity. Unity is godliness. Unity is righteousness. Unity. But that's a counterfeit righteousness. Nowhere in Scripture are we called to unify around anything other than the truth. We're not called to unify around unity. We're called to unify around what is true. Nowhere are we called to maintain a peace at the expense of what is true. And so what happens when we do this is it actually causes a ton of problems. When we are not honest for the sake of peace, it actually creates more problems. All it does is give us a temporary peace. Let me give you a couple examples of it. This happens a lot in marriages. This couple doesn't go to our church. None of the people I'm mentioning this morning go to our church. So just make sure that's clear. One of the craziest marriage counseling I've ever done was a couple that came into my office fighting over $1.59 Coke. Dead serious. They were fighting over $1.59 Coke because on the way home, he stopped at Taco Bell and he bought $1.59 Coke. And they were looking the other way, refusing to. I mean, I have a love seat in my office, so they have to sit next to each other. But they didn't want to. Like, I think they just kind of like sitting on top of the arm, looking up the other way, don't even look at each other. Just you tell him. And that's over $1.59. Now, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's completely ridiculous. But it wasn't over $1.59. What had happened is months ago, through his own stupidity, he'd lost his job. And then instead of owning up to that and then going trying to provide for his family, he'd been a lazy bum. And so she was getting up early every day to go and provide for the family while he lay in bed. But she was being a good wife and didn't say anything because you got to have peace and happiness and unity. And then she would work all day and he would do nothing all day. And then she'd come home and she'd work all night while he was just sitting there laying on the couch. And this happened for months and months and months. And he would go hang out with friends. And he would go to the store. And he would do all of those things while she was sitting there paying the bills, because he wouldn't do that. And she was sitting there seeing that the money was shrinking, seeing that they were getting ready to go into foreclosure, that they were getting ready to lose their house. And every morning she goes up to work, he lays in bed all day. And then when she's sitting there going, we don't have enough money to pay the mortgage, he goes and buys $1.59 Coke. And then she decided not to be peaceful anymore. You know, if she had been honest at the very beginning, you know, I'm going to resent you if you're in bed when I leave every morning, and I'm going to resent you if you're in bed when I come back every day. We have to work together. I understand you lost your job, but you've got to get it together for our family. You know what? They could have avoided the whole fight. I know of another situation where they almost got divorced after almost 15 years of marriage because he thought that being a good husband meant making your wife happy and and making sure there was no fighting. All there was peace and unity. So he never objected to anything. he resented everything she did. He started to have a disdain for her. Well, I could have told you that wasn't going to work. Was it a dumb idea? But he never would say that. Until finally, he had enough, and they almost got divorced. Whereas if 15 years ago he would have said, honey, I don't think that's a good idea. They could have had a conversation. They could have talked and come to what was best for their family. But this happens in churches. How many of you have heard churches split over the color of the carpet? That's a joke that people use, but they really do split over the color of the carpet. But they never split over the color of the carpet. What happened is somebody said, they always get their way. But I'm not going to say anything because they always get their way. And I'm not going to say anything. And for 15 years, I'm not going to say anything. And finally, they can't handle it anymore, so they blow up. And people start yelling and screaming. People go, where did that come from? It came from this, I'm not going to tell the truth. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to say what I see. I'm not going to say how I feel. We're just going to, unity, peace. And so we're not honest. And all it does is eventually result in greater disunity and greater conflict because we didn't speak the truth to begin with. Okay? Another way that we are not honest is to protect people. Right? Well, that's what we tell ourselves, is I'm trying to protect them. So somebody comes and say, you should hear me sing. And, you shouldn't hear them sing. They can't sing. But you don't want to say that. That's mean. So what do we tell them? Oh, you sounded great. And then what do? Well, they go and sing in front of a bunch of people and embarrass themselves. You didn't protect them. You only protected you from an awkward conversation. You see somebody and you see their husband flirting with somebody. Well, I don't want to say anything to her. That might hurt her, and I don't want to say anything to him because that might, he might say, mind your own business. You're not protecting him, you're not protecting her, you're not protecting their marriage, you're only protecting yourself. Speak the truth. So many problems could be avoided if we'd have the awkward conversation now. But you know what we do? We protect people. We protect them. I tell you one, and I'll just be honest, we're looking next week about anger and temper, so I'll just go ahead and confess this week. I was reading an article a couple years ago about a man in Florida who's a pastor who molested a bunch of people, and the journalist went back and went and saw where he'd been a church in New England and had been a church in Alabama. And so they went to the church in New England and interviewed the people there and went to the church in Alabama. And they found, I think it was a deacon in the church and the church in Alabama that was willing to talk to them. He's like, oh, yeah, there was a whole bunch of questions we had about his behavior. We were so glad when he finally went to New England. Man, our problem was gone. I literally wanted to get in my car. Okay, we're talking about temper next week. And drive all the way to Alabama, find that guy, and punch him square in the mouth. Because what you did is you were not honest with the next church. You weren't honest, and more and more and more and more people were hurt to spare you a few minutes of an awkward phone call. And you're going to act like this was some good thing you did because we were so happy that he was gone and our problem was gone. You weren't honest. You didn't tell the truth. When the next church called you and said, hey, is this guy a good guy? You said, oh, he's wonderful. Whew, so glad he's gone. That does no good to anyone. I understand we don't want to hurt people's feelings. I understand we don't want to hurt people's reputations. I read a little cartoon this week. It's sad that cartoons get it right and sometimes we don't. The cartoon said, if the truth can destroy something, maybe it should be destroyed. It's truth. Yeah, we go, oh, I don't want to cause any problems and I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't want to... Let me ask you, if you see somebody with something stuck in their teeth and you don't want to have the little awkward conversation, hey, you got something stuck in your teeth. What did you just do to them the rest of the day with every single person they talk to? You hurt them worse. You hurt them worse. When you don't want to tell your father, dad, you're really being overbearing on my brother, my sister, whatever. You know what you're doing? You're just hurting your brother more and your father more. Right? When you don't tell your child the truth, what you're doing is you're setting that child up for more failure, more pain, more hurt. All you're doing is wasting everyone's time. As Christians, we're called to be honest. When we see someone who is doing something stupid, when we see someone who is doing something sinful, when we have questions about what they're doing, we need to be honest with them, and we need to talk with them, and we need to speak the truth with them. Why? Because protecting them doesn't protect them. You're not protecting anyone except yourself. It's selfishness. And again, it's a little deceitful thing we do. Well, I don't want to say that. That might hurt my spouse. Let me ask you, if you found out 30 years later, for 30 years, you've been doing something that hurts your marriage and hurts your spouse, how bad would that make you feel? That for 30 years, you were hurting the person you loved. And you as a spouse have the opportunity to say, honey, would you please not do that? It really hurts my feelings. You're not protecting your spouse by not telling them the truth. You're not protecting somebody. Okay, I was talking with Bryce this morning about my sister. My sister had this guy, and this happened a couple times to her. She had this guy that was just a crazy stalker person that was a nice guy, claimed to be a Christian, that was constantly asking around dates, and she kept saying, oh, I'm busy Friday night, and oh, I can't do that, you know, got to wash my hair, whatever girls say. And then she's like, what do I do? I said, look him square in the eye and say, not now, not ever. Nuclear holocaust, you and I are the only people on the end of the planet Earth, that's the end of the human race. She said, well, that's mean. I said, but is it true? She said, well, yeah, it's true, but that's mean. It'll hurt his feelings. I said, no, it won't. You'll be good friends afterwards. So she called me back a couple weeks later. He still won't leave me alone. I said, did you tell him the truth? No. Tell him the truth, but that's mean. It'll hurt his feelings. And then she called me a couple weeks later. She said, I told him the truth. I said, Ann, we're good friends now. He quit asking me out. He knows where everything is, and you know, he leaves me alone, and we can go hang out, and it's not awkward. I said, hello. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You know, this happens sometimes in courting relationships and dating relationships. My dad always says that people just lie to each other until they get married, then they tell the truth. Okay? And that's why they have marriage problems, and that's how my dad kept a job of being a counselor, and I keep my job. It's because people lie to each other. They lie to each other constantly. Well, I don't want them to know how I really feel, or I don't want them to know about this or know about that, because it would really hurt them. No, what hurts them is when they find it all out after they're married. That's what hurts. When they thought they were marrying somebody and all they married was a lie. Be honest. Tell the truth. If you want to protect someone, be honest with them. Tell them the truth. We also do this to, we're also dishonest to advance a really good goal. This happens in churches a lot. This happens in churches where don't say anything because that will hurt the church. The church is going to grow. Don't bring that up. There have been people who pastors have molested. There have been people who pastors have had affairs with, and they've been told not to tell people because that will damage the growth of the church. And don't you want to see people saved? Don't you care about people going to hell? So don't, listen, you don't sacrifice the truth for church growth. Because if the church is growing on a lie, it's not healthy anyway and it will die. You've got to tell the truth. Oh, but it will damage the reputation of the church. It might ruin his life. How many other lives are going to be ruined with you not telling the truth? Speak the truth. We do this for political agendas. I have seen evangelicals say, well, I know that's true, but we shouldn't say that because that might hurt their chances of getting elected, or that might hurt the chances of this bill being passed, or whatever. If it's true, we as Christians are called to say it. Okay? There is no greater agenda than the truth. No greater agenda than the truth. And as Christians, we are called to speak the truth. Sometimes we don't speak the truth. It's another reason that we lie or distort or aren't honest, is to be holy. Okay? Sometimes we have been taught in churches an idea of submission that is not biblical. And that is the idea that parents and wives and church members and people should never, ever, ever, in any way, shape, or form, indicate any type of disagreement with the direction that the husband wants or the parents want or that the pastor wants or whatever. And if you do that, you're in rebellion and sin. And so what happens is that wives won't speak the truth. They won't talk about how their husband is just destroying his relationship with his kids. And they just let him destroy his relationship with his kids. Because I don't want to be an ungodly, unsubmissive, just, you know, boisterous woman. No. Speak the truth. Okay? Well, I don't want to be one of those people that causes problem in the church. If the pastor or the elders or whoever's in sin, that's the problem in the church, not the person who's speaking of it. And it's not holiness to sit by and watch everything fall apart for some distorted view of submission that's nowhere found in Scripture. How do we know this? Okay, was Herod the authority? And what did John the Baptist say to him? It's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. He told him the truth. We are called to speak the truth. You know, this is hard, but we're called, and we're told elsewhere in Ephesians to speak the truth in love. You know, sometimes we've raised kids to never speak the truth to their parents, and so what they do is they grow up resenting their parents, hating their parents, and eventually the whole relationship falls apart and they move to the other side of the world to get away from their parents, as opposed to really telling the truth to their parents. Which is, Mom, when you speak this way, it really bothers me. I don't think this is fair the way you're treating my brother, my sister. Dad, when you come home and you treat Mom this way, it really makes me angry. I just can't handle the way you talk to my mom. That's telling the truth. That's not ungodly. Okay? The I'm not going to tell the truth is a counterfeit, false form of holiness. Okay? Holiness and righteousness is speaking the truth. Oh, with love, yes. You want to have a conversation so they understand it. You're not. This is not yelling and screaming at your parents. This is not yelling and screaming at your husband and throwing things. This is not yelling and screaming and trying to get a faction in the church to separate. No, it's speaking the truth with love, trying to help people see their sin, see the error of their ways, see what is right so that they might repent. You see, we say, oh, just telling the truth, that's easy. But the truth is, we are not a very truthful people a lot of times. We're not. Because we're trying to protect people. We're trying to keep the peace. We're trying to further an agenda. We're trying to be holy or righteous or godly in some distorted sense. And this is where we have to put away lying and put on speaking the truth with our neighbor. Now he gives something here that is kind of different. The reasoning he gives for this is this. For, why are we supposed to do this? Because we are members one of another. We're all in this together. You know, when you are not honest with someone, and when you don't tell someone the truth, you are really saying, I do not care about you. I do not care about your well-being. I do not care about your soul. I do not care about your family. I do not care about you. And you say, oh, no. The reason I don't say it is because I care about them. No. Here's the idea. If we are all wanting to get to heaven, okay, and we want to cross the finish line, you know what? If I'm a true believer in Jesus Christ and I love my neighbor as myself, you know what I want? I want all of my neighbors to get across the finish line with me. I want my mother and my father and my brother and my sister and my children and my grandchildren. I want my neighbors. I want my acquaintances. I want my coworkers. I want my friends. I want my cousins. I want every member of the church. I want everyone to get across the finish line. Which means if I see somebody and we're running a race, okay, we're running a marathon and their shoe's untied, well, I don't want to make them stop and tie their shoe. What am I saying? I'm okay if you trip and smash your face open on the pavement as long as I keep running. That's not loving. That's not loving someone. You want to help them across the finish line. So when you see them and you see their shoe untied, now that's a silly illustration, but it's the truth. You say, hey, hey, you need to tie your shoe. You're going to trip. You're going to fall. You tell them the truth. If you want to get everybody across the finish line, you sit down and go, oh, wait a minute. We need to talk about this. We need to make sure that we're on the same page, that we understand what's going on. It has bothered me, and I know it's bothered Glenn. We've had people leave the church before and not tell us why. Right? They leave and they don't tell why. Well, I don't want to, you know, destroy the reputation of the church. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'll just quietly go. Listen, that's not loving to our church. If we are in error, love us enough to tell us. If we're in sin, love us enough to tell us we're in sin so we can repent. If we've hurt your feelings, tell us so we can apologize. If we've sinned against you, let us know so we can repent. It's not loving to say, well, I'll just leave you with all your problems and go my merry way. It's not loving. It's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. It's not for your own good. This is a very unhealthy way of handling situations and relationships people get into. This happens in marriages a lot. This happens with kids towards their parents a lot. This happens in churches too. It's the kind of like the silent treatment. Like, you did me wrong, and you know what you did, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm just not going to talk to you. That happens in churches. And so people kind of withdraw, and you say, and somebody goes, hey, are you okay? I'm fine, which isn't the truth. You know what I do when people say I'm fine? I treat them like they're fine. You know what most people do when people say, I'm good? They treat you like they're good. And you know what happens? It's so unhealthy, you begin to resent them. Well, can't they see I'm not good? You told them you were. If you're not doing well, say, I'm not doing well. This happens with people. They'll begin to miss church services. And so you call them, hey, we missed you at church. Oh, yeah, I'm doing good. Is everything okay? Everything's fine. And so the next time they miss church, why didn't anybody call me? Well, because you said everything's fine. You see, all you're doing is dividing the body. You're not helping yourself. You're not helping anyone else. People do this in marriages. They do this in churches. You see, the goal here is to get everyone across the finish line, to leave no one behind. We're all in this together, and if we're in this together, we got to work with one another. If we're going to work with one another, we got to be honest. Wayne's been helping me at the house, and we've been doing the siding on the house. And we ran into a problem, and I'm a genius, and I'll take full credit for it. We didn't figure the problem out until we were done with the siding. Okay, but I would cut, and he would nail. And so he'd yell out a measurement, and I'd cut it and hand it to Michael. Michael would run to Wayne. Wayne would put on there and nail. And you know what? Almost every single time, every board I cut was long. And I'm sure Wayne was sitting there going, man, the preacher can't even read a tape measure. Okay? But every board I cut was about an eighth of an inch long. And there was a lot of them we get right, but there's a lot of them we didn't. And then we got to the kind of a more dangerous part of the house and said, well, it's my house. If anybody's going to fall and break a leg, it'll be me. So you cut and I'll saw. And then I started, you cut and I'll nail. So I started saying measurements, and Wayne would cut it and hand it to me, and it was all an eighth of an inch short. And this is near the end of the house, and we're like, man. And by this time, we've like recut like 100 boards, some of them two or three times. And so Isaac was there that night. We went and we put our tape measures and we pulled them out. And you know what? At about 10 feet, they were eighth of an inch apart. And from there, it just kept going. Okay, somehow along the lines, one of the tape measures was printed wrong. And as you went back, every 8 to 10 feet, it was another eighth of an inch. Those tape measures were off. Now, I should have been a little bit smarter after the first couple boards and said, let's check our tape measures and make sure they're the same. But you know what can happen when you're not honest and you're not on the same page? Well, one, you waste a lot of time. You can waste a lot of money. You can waste a lot of energy. But you know what can happen? I'm glad that Wayne's a gracious guy, because you can really begin to build up resentment. This person's a moron. You can. You can do that. And that happens in churches. You begin to build up resentment towards someone because you won't sit down and compare your tape measures and be honest with each other and speak the truth with each other and get on the same page. As Christians, that's what we are called to do. Throw away lying that has no place in your life, but now put on speaking the truth. Because you know what? If you're married, you're in it together. And not telling the truth to your spouse doesn't help either of you out. Okay? You're a family. Not speaking the truth to your child, not speaking the truth to your parents, not speaking truth to your brothers or sisters doesn't help your family. It just causes bigger problems. We are a church family. Not speaking the truth to each other is just going to cause problems. Be open. Be honest. Speak the truth. Dialogue. Listen to other people. And work together. It's a good thing to put the tape measures down. That should have been the first thing we did before we ever started cutting boards. It would have saved who knows how much time and frustration and money. And that's what God calls us to do. The application of this is really cut and dry simple. Who do you need to go tell the truth to? That's it. Who in your life does not know the truth? Oh, and it may just be a small thing they don't know. It may be a big thing. There may be where you need to tell your spouse, you know, I know this is really petty, but that really annoys me. Okay? You know how much that will save in your marriage? Eventually you'll end up in my office fighting over $1.59. Say it. Speak the truth. It'll save a whole bunch of problems. Who do you need to tell the truth to? But lastly, one of the people we lie to the most is ourselves. We do. We pretend that everything's right with our soul. Everything's right with God. This happens a lot in churches. People begin to have doubts concerning Jesus, concerning God, concerning the Bible, concerning their faith. And they don't tell anybody. If you have doubts, speak the truth. You're never going to find answers until you speak the truth. If you have questions, ask them. We're not a people who are going to shame you, because I have had doubts about the truth of Scripture. I have had doubts about Jesus Christ. I have had doubts about every single one of them. Okay? And we're here to help you, not to cram religion down your throat, but to help you come to know the truth. As a child, if you're struggling with the way your parents are raising you, go to them and say, Mom and Dad, help me understand why you're making these decisions. You know, that is one of the best things. That's one of the things I love as a parent when my kids do that, because then I can help them to understand so that they cannot just do it because they're told to, but do it because they know it's right, that they can embrace it, they can own it, they can make it their own. And also, if I'm wrong, I'd like to be able to think about it and have an opportunity to apologize. You know, one of the most vivid memories I have is my dad telling my brother to give him a spanking because he spanked the wrong kid. I remember that. And he owned up to it. He told the truth. And he took the kid that he spanked, and it was my brother James, and said, James, here's the paddle. You have to give me a spanking because I was wrong. But you know what? If James hadn't said, Dad, I didn't do it, and the other brother hadn't said, Dad, it was really me, you know what? That could have caused all kinds of problems. Be honest. Speak the truth. If you do not know if you're right with God, tell your parents. Tell someone in the church. If you do not know that your sins are forgiven, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have questions, please tell us. Speak the truth. No one's going to shame you. No one's going to look down on you. We're here to speak the truth with you, to help you come to an understanding of the truth. If that's you today, would you please find someone and tell them the truth? Tell them about your doubts. Tell them about your fears. Tell them about the state of your soul. We would love nothing more than to sit down and discuss with you how we know the Word of God is true, how we know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, to tell you about his death on the cross, about his resurrection from the dead, and how you can be right with God through him. It's not going to hurt our feelings. It's going to make our day. Hey, well, I just want to protect those people who don't feel bad. No. Okay. Speak the truth. Who do you need to be honest with today? Amen.